Right? We will do Krishna's pastimes. How's that sound? That's pretty good. We can have some books. All right. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihave Madhava Kunja Vihave Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihave
Thank you.
Madhvacharya also Tara Shri Srimad, His Divine Grace of our Chanana Bhavatvananda Gosami Srila Prabhupada Iskan Founder Acharya Shilpopad Vijaya Ananda Goti Vaishnava Vrindavacharya Namacharya Shilhuilas Thakur Vijaya Prince Kahoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Shidwaya Namacharya Sangor Vata Vrindavacharya Shri Shri Radhakrishna Govinda Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govran Kijaya Vrindavanam Kijaya Maturnam Kijaya Chakrasami Kijaya Yamunamai Kijaya Shimati Dalas Kadeva Kijaya Samaveda Bhakta Vrindavan Kijaya Gaur Premananda All glories and glories. All glories to some of the devotees. All glories to some of the devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Shri Prabhupada Jai. Om Ganatha Nagasya Gananjana Shlokaya Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, because we have so many young people here this evening, we're going to be speaking a little bit and reading a little bit from Krishna book. And one of my favorite chapters of the Krishna book is a chapter which talks about how Lord Brahma stole all the coward boys of calves. And the reason it is my favorite chapter is it also describes how Krishna married all the girls. You understand? Although that's mentioned in the Acharya's commentary. So I'm going to read a little bit and then we'll talk a little bit. So we're in the middle of the chapter. Krishna is actually getting ready to take lunch with the cowherd boys. And they're actually out there taking care of the calves. So, in the middle of the chapter, on hearing this proposal from Krishna, all the boys became very glad and said, "Certainly let us all sit down here to take our lunch." Then they let loose the calves to eat the soft grass. Sitting down on the ground and keeping Krishna in the center, they began to open their lunch boxes brought from home. Lord Krishna was seated in the center of the circle, and all the boys kept their faces toward him. They ate and constantly enjoyed seeing the Lord face to face. Krishna appeared to be the whorl of the lotus flower, and the boys, and the boys surrounding him appeared to be its different petals. The boys collected flowers, leaves, and the bark of trees and placed their lunch on them as well as their boxes, and thus began to eat their lunch, keeping company with Krishna. While taking lunch, each boy began to manifest different kinds of relations with Krishna, and they enjoyed each other's company with joking words. While Lord Krishna was thus enjoying lunch with his friends, his flute was pushed within the belt of his cloth on his right side, and his bugle and cane were pushed in on the left-hand side of his cloth. In his left palm, he was holding a lump of food prepared with yogurt, butter, rice, and pieces of fruit salad, which could be seen through his petal-like finger joints. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who accepts the results of great sacrifices, was laughing and joking, enjoying lunch with his friends in Vrindavan. And thus, the scene was being observed by the demigods from heaven. As for the boys, they were simply enjoying transcendental bliss in the company of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, there were, practically speaking, unlimited boys there. And each and every one of them had a personal interaction with Krishna. That's the nature of God. So, in other words, it's not that Krishna was ignoring any of them. He was looking at each and every one of them. Let's not do another one right now. It's a little hot. Oh, this is Radharani Garland?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I mean, no mercy. It's a little hot, you know. When you put on garlands, it gets hotter. So each and every boy was enjoying their interactions with Krishna. Okay. And they each had a different type of relationship. Like, you've all heard of Madhu Mango before? Like, he has a very joking relationship with Krishna. And Krishna sometimes chastises him. There was one story where Krishna came back late from pasturing the cows because he was hanging out with the gopis. And Mother Yashoda asked, "Why are you late?" And Madhu Mango said, "Well, because Krishna was looking at the gopis." And Krishna said to him, "Shut up." So this way he would create problems for Krishna in many, many cases. And he would joke with Krishna. So they had amazing relationships, joking and wrestling. And this is what's happening in the spiritual world, where one can have a very intimate, close relationship with Krishna. So, keep reading. "At that time, the cows were pasturing nearby in the deep forest, allured by the new grasses. And gradually they went out of sight. When the boys saw that the calves were not nearby, they became afraid for their safety, and they immediately cried out, 'Krishna! Krishna is the killer of fear personified. Everyone's afraid of fear personified. But fear personified is afraid of Krishna.' By crying out, 'Krishna,' the boys at once transcended the fearful situation. Out of this great affection, Krishna did not want his friends to give up their pleasing lunch engagement and searching for the calves. He therefore said, 'My dear friends, you need not interrupt your lunch. Go on and join. I am going personally to find the calves.' Thus, Lord Krishna, still carrying the lump of yogurt and rice preparation in his left hand, immediately started to search out the calves in the caves and the bushes." "He searched in the mountain holes and in the forests, but nowhere could he find them. At that time, when the Gasura was killed and the demigods were looking at the incident with great surprise, Brahma, who was born of the lotus flower growing out of the navel of Vishnu, also came to see. He was surprised how a little boy like Krishna could act so wonderfully, although he was informed that the little coward boy was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He wanted to see more of the Lord's glorious pastimes, and thus he stole all the calves and coward boys and took them to a different place. Lord Krishna, therefore, in spite of searching for the calves, could not find them. And he even lost his boyfriends on the bank of the Yamuna, where they were taking their lunch. In the form of a coward boy, Krishna was very little in comparison to Brahma. But because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he could immediately understand that all the calves and boys had been stolen by Brahma. Krishna thought, 'Brahma has taken away all the boys and calves. How can I alone return to Vrindavan? The mothers will be very aggrieved. Therefore, in order to satisfy the mothers of his friends, as well as to convince Brahma of the supremacy of the personality of Godhead, he immediately expanded himself as the coward boys and calves. In the Vedas, it is said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has already expanded himself into so many living entities by his energy. Therefore, it was not very difficult for him to expand himself again into so many boys and calves. He expanded himself to become exactly like the boys, who were all different features and facial and bodily construction, and who were different in their clothing and ornaments and in their behavior and personal activities. In other words, although each boy, being an individual soul, had entirely different tastes, activities, and behavior, Krishna exactly expanded himself into all the different positions of the individual boys. He also became the calves, who were also of different sizes, colors, and activities. This was possible because everything is an expansion of Krishna's energy. In the Vishnu Purana, it is said, 'Parasya Brahmana Shaktihi.' Whatever we actually see in the cosmic manifestation, be it matter or the activities of the living entities, is simply an expansion of the energies of the Lord, as heat and light are different expansions of fire." Let me explain a little bit about this. So, everything is created by Krishna. In one sense, we say everything is Krishna, right? And another sense, everything is different from Krishna. What is that called? What did Lord Chaitanya call that? Achincha, Veda, Aveda, Tattva. Then one sense, everything is the same. Another sense, everything is different. That's because everything is Krishna's energy, and the energy becomes transformed into different ways. There's a Sanskrit word for that. It's called parinam. Parinam is transformation. Shakti parinam. You understand? All of Krishna's energy, Krishna can transform them in any way he wants. Now, the Mayavadis, they say something different. They say Brahman parinam. You know what that means? They say Brahman becomes transformed. We don't agree with that. Krishna, the Supreme Brahman, is never transformed. He always remains the same. But the energy becomes transformed. So Krishna can do anything he wants, plus everything belongs to Krishna. What does that verse in the Isopanishad state that? Yadkincha. So everything is owned and controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and every one of us is given a quota. Everyone knows what a quota is? A quota. We're given something by God to use in his service. For example, our body is one of the things that God has given us. So does our body belong to us?
No.
I'm asking children. They're supposed to be the audience, but you know, not. But no, it doesn't belong to us. Who does it belong to? Krishna. And when something belongs to someone, are you supposed to steal it and use it for yourself?
No.
Like if you see a mobile phone just lying there, you take it, it's mine. No. You bring it back to the person to whom it belongs. That's the proper consciousness. So, that's what we should be doing with everything. And Krishna in the Gita says, in this way we can see Yomam Pashati Sarvatra Sarum Jamai Pashati. One can see Krishna in everything and everywhere. If one understands that everything is Krishna's energy. So Krishna here transforms himself into the cowboys. Now this is not simply Krishna's energy. This is actually Krishna directly doing these things. You understand? There's a difference. Like, this is Krishna's energy. In one sense, it's Krishna. But it's not Vishnu Tattva. It's not God. This table is not God. It's God's energy. And we use it for God. However, when Krishna transformed himself into all the cowboys and the calves, they were all the same as Krishna. There's a verse in the Brahma Samhita, no masculine children, you may know. Advaita? No, you're a child. You're an old baby. So, Advaita, Chuta, Anadya. None of the kids know.
They all know all the verses.
Advaita, Chuta, Anadya, Ananta, Rupam. No one knows. Advaita Judah Nahiranandu Rumajum Param Purusham Naviyoganam Cha Vedeshu Durlabam Ah Durlabam. What else? Atman? Abdu? What's the last line? That's easy. That's an easy one. Govindam Adi Purusham Dhamahamashami. So what that verse means is that even though Krishna expands in all these Vishnu Tattva expansions, like the cowboys right here, it's the same person. Advaita means what? Anyone know? What does Dvaita mean? What does Advaita mean? Without two, you know. The negation of two. It's like Advaita Acharya was called Advaita Acharya, right? And what did Mother Sachi say about Advaita Acharya one time? She said, you are Dvaita. Why did she say that? Anyone know the story? Because she blamed Dvaitacharya. Yeah. That her son had taken sannyas, Lord Chaitanya's brother, the Sarup. He had taken sannyas. He said, you were Dvaita, you were two-faced. Two-faced means you're not honest with us. In other words, that's a fancy way. When you say someone is Dvaita, that means they're a liar. You say one thing to one person, another thing to another person. And because of that, she couldn't get love of God. You know the story? Yeah. When Lord Chaitanya was giving out love of God to everybody, he said, everybody can get it. Satchimata can't get it. He said, why not? She's your mother. And Lord Chaitanya said she committed an offense. And then she begged him to wait to Charya's feet, and then Lord Chaitanya gave her pure love of God. So here, we're talking Advaita, Chitta, Ananya, Ananta Rupa. Let's go back to the Brahma Samhita. Advaita means that all the different incarnations of God, or avatars, or expansions, they're all the same person, acting in different ways. For example, you have Krishna and Balaram. Balaram's the first expansion, right? And then after that, you have something called the Chaturvyuha expansion. Does anyone know what that is? What's a Chaturvyuha? I know. Vasudev, Sankarshan, Arjuna, and Aniruddha. And can you give me an example? This is a test. We should ask the adults this. What is the Chaturvyuha expansion in Lord Rama's pastimes? Yeah, Ram, Lakshman, Bart, Shatrughna. That's Shatrughna. And they're all the same persons, that's the point I'm making. Advaita. They're all the same persons at the same time. They're not different persons, but they act differently, simultaneously. That's God. He can do all these things. He can act differently at the same time, with millions of different expansions, or trillions or quadrillions of different expansions. And Advaita Achyuta, and he's also infallible. And he has unlimited expansions, unlimited avatars. Do you know that Krishna appears in every species of life? Prabhupada said that. So there's an incarnation of Krishna as a bird, an incarnation of Krishna as an insect. If you ever see an insect with a peacock feather, be careful. Don't go like that. So, anyway, they're all the same person. When Krishna expanded, Ananta Rupama, that means unlimited forms. Same body, too. Ajopi son of Yatman, Utanamishrobisham. And so when Krishna expanded as the coward voice, that was Krishna. Just acting as the coward voice. And he did this so that the mothers of all of his friends, they wouldn't get discouraged. Because what would happen if you came back from playing with your friends and none of them were there? How would you explain this to their parents? What would you say? You know, let's say you went out to play whatever, and you came back, you said, well, so-and-so disappeared. I think parents would be pretty upset. We don't know where, you know, we were in the forest, and you know, it's nighttime, it doesn't matter. They're gone. So Krishna, in order to pacify them, then he did this. So, and Krishna also became all the calves. Now, there's a reason Krishna did this. I'm going to stop reading for a second. Because, first of all the different older gopis, we're not talking about the gopis that Krishna danced with, but the elder coward ladies, they all wanted to have Krishna as their son. They were all thinking, we want Krishna as our son. And they were a little, I'm not saying envious, but they really wanted Krishna as their son. And then so Krishna fulfilled that desire. And they became more affectionate towards Krishna during that year than they had been to their sons. And also the cows, they wanted to have Krishna as their calf. And so Krishna fulfilled the desire of the cows. Now, what about Krishna marrying all the gopis? Well, I'll explain. That during that year, all the coward boys were supposed to get married to coward girls. That's natural. Now, in those days, the girls and boys got married when they were not this small, but when they were really small. Like even Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I think his wife was like 6 or 8 years of age when they got married. It's pretty. Can't do that in America, you get arrested. So, but the reason they did that was they didn't stay with each other or anything like that. The reason they did that is because later on when they grew up, they knew they had a husband or a wife. Because otherwise, people will just keep looking on their mobile phones. And I'll say, is he the boy for me? You know that, eeny, meeny, miny, moe? Because they don't know that. Is he for me? And that way, their minds would be stable. They'll know, yeah, I want to grow up. He'll be my husband. It's pretty good. So, therefore, during that year, they all got married to the coward boys. But the coward boys were all Krishna. Right?
Yeah.
So they got married to Krishna. So when people say, and sometimes you'll hear this when you talk to people who don't know about Krishna consciousness, they'll say, what kind of god was Krishna? He danced with so many other people's wives. They criticize like that, isn't it? Oh. And they say, oh, he must be really lusty. Actually, Prabhupada one time said, even if you say Krishna's lusty, he's unlimitedly lusty. So then, they got a chance to marry Krishna. And that fulfilled their desire. Because previously, they had done this thing called the Kachiyani Vrat. You all heard about that before? Some of you may know that. Kachiyani Vrat is a vow that the gopis took to get Krishna as their husband. And when they took that vow, they've been bathing in the river in the freezing cold in the winter, when it was very cold, and just eating havisha, which means unspiced food once a day, like some khichdi. You understand what I'm talking about. And so, and then at the end of that particular time when they did the Kachiyani Vrat, that's when Krishna stole their clothes. And you all know that story. Krishna was up in the tree, took their clothes, and they were very embarrassed, and they had to come. Krishna said, you better come out, you've offended Varuna, by bathing like that. And so, that's another instance in which it signified that Krishna was married to the gopis. But in this case, he actually got married to the gopis. So Krishna never danced with anyone else's wife. Krishna danced with his own wives, which is all right. Krishna is the original Bollywood star. Because you see in all these Bollywood movies, they always have a circle dance, isn't it? Is that true? I've seen it. I haven't watched that many. There was one movie I watched that was called Slumdog Millionaire, which you've seen, and which there was a circle dance right in the middle of the Bombay Railway Station. And nobody dances in the middle of the Bombay Railway Station. It's very dirty. So this is a reflection called a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. Isn't it? Because in the spiritual world, Krishna has his circle dance too. And everybody in this world is trying to imitate Krishna, right? Even there's a verse that the imitating Krishna's chant every day. Ishwaroham aham bhogi siddhoham bhagavan sukhi. You know that verse? No? That's from Divine and Demoniac Natures of Bhagavad Gita. I am the controller. Ishwaroham aham bhogi. What's a bhogi?
Anyone know what a bogey is?
Enjoyer.
But Krishna is a bogey, right? We offer Krishna what? Boga. Don't offer Krishna prasadam, because prasadam means his mercy. You offer Krishna boga, so. But we are thinking, I am a bogey, but Krishna is the bogey. Ishwaraham aham bogi, siramaham bhagavan sukhi. I am perfect, I am powerful, and happy. This is a verse in the Divine and Demoniac Natures chapter, the Bhagavad Gita, which Krishna is showing what the demons are reciting, what the demons chant every day. Ishwaraham aham bogi, siramaham bhagavan sukhi. So, yes, Krishna is the enjoyer. And Krishna is not doing anything wrong by dancing with all these girls, because even if he had not gotten married to them, they all belong to him anyway, right? I mentioned before, everything belongs to Krishna. The person who thinks that someone, let's say there's a man who's married, who thinks his wife belongs to him, that's very bad, isn't it? Because his wife belongs to Krishna. What do you think about that? No one will get married then. They'll think, why should I get married if my wife belongs to Krishna? I want someone to belong to me. Because the man wants to be the master. And he wants his own Lakshmi. You understand? This is nonsense. So, anyway, so this is why Krishna did this pastime, and then as the pastime progresses, Balaram actually goes to Krishna, and he says to Krishna, you know, what's happening here, Krishna? All these coward boys and calves, their mothers are more affectionate to them than they ever were before. They're affectionate to them just like they were to you, Krishna. And not only that, the cows, when they saw their calves, even though they had younger calves, neglected the younger calves to run towards the calves that were Krishna. And they jumped down the hill, like Govardhan Hill. They actually ran down Govardhan Hill. And Balaram asked Krishna what had happened, and then Krishna explained what had happened. And then Lord Brahma, basically, after a moment of his time, because there's a difference on the earth. In the earth it was like a year, and in Lord Brahma's time it was just like this. Because time is relative. Like 1 second of Lord Brahma, or half a second, or 1/10 of a second, or 1/1,000,000 of a second, is actually like a whole year on this earth planet. It's like that. Like Prabhupada said, just like the difference between us and certain bugs. He said certain bugs are born in the morning or at night, and they die by the next morning. Probably talk about what he called Diwali bugs. Do you know what a Diwali bug is?
The Diwali time, you can see.
What?
In the Diwali time, you can see that.
Yeah. No, but they're also called Diwali bugs because they have lights on them.
Yeah, that's what they attracted in the light.
Yeah, they're fireflies, they're called. You see fireflies? And so they're born. So their whole lifetime is in one night. They're born, they have children, they get old, and they die in one night. And for us it takes maybe 100 years if we're lucky. So there's a difference in time depending on who you are, what bodies you have, and especially what planets you have are in. So Lord Brahma, after this whole thing, he came and he apologized. And he was just curious. He was not offensive. Interestingly enough, there's a certain group of devotees who don't like this pastime. They're the followers of Madhvacharya. They don't like something good. It's called the Brahma Vimomana Lila. Vimomana means when Lord Brahma got bewildered. Why don't they like it? Because Lord Brahma is who? In our disciplic succession. Does any of the children know? Any children. Who is Lord Brahma? I'm not asking for his personal name, like Joe or Bill or something like that. But where does he fit in
in our disciplic succession? Any children know? Yeah, are you a child? He's the first person in our disciplic succession. And how did he learn everything? Well, what best he tells us?
From Krishna.
From Krishna, but how? What? Yes, but how did he learn it? That was his tapasya, but how did he learn it? In the heart. Krishna revealed everything, and he saw Goloka Vrindavan,
yeah.
And he wrote what book? Brahma Samhita.
The Stuti.
The Stuti, yeah. And so, he's the first person, and he's the, in one sense, he's the original guru after Krishna. You know, Krishna's really Adi Guru. That's Krishna. But then the second guru is Lord Brahma. And then from Lord Brahma, who comes after Lord Brahma in our disciplic children, in our disciplic succession? I'll give you a hint. Narada Muni. Who comes after Narada Muni? Vyas. Okay. And I'm not going to recite the whole thing because I don't remember the whole list. But all the way down to Srila Prabhupada and the representatives of Srila Prabhupada before Srila Prabhupada was Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Gaurabhishodas Babaji Maharaj, Srila Lakshmi Vinod Thakur, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, all the way back. So the followers of Madhvacharya, who are called the Tatvavadis, do not like to tell the story because they think it criticizes Lord Brahma. But it doesn't really. In here, it actually says the Lord Brahma wanted to see the wonderful pastimes of Krishna, the opulence of Krishna. But they don't like to hear any criticism. But this is a pastime. Yes, you want to say?
I'm just wondering. The future of Prabhupada says in one purport in the CC that they don't like this for the reason for what they think is for fear of
criticizing.
Fear of destroying the validity of the Sampradaya.
Yeah, that's right.
First person,
well, that's right. Yeah, they're thinking that if we criticize Lord Brahma, then what about everybody else afterwards? Because the chain is only as strong as its weakest link. But this is a pastime. Devotees who are under the influence of Yoga Maya, they have pastimes. Can anyone think of other devotees who forget that Krishna is God? Arjuna. What about the residents of Vrindavan?
Yeah.
They're always forgetting because if they remember Krishna's God, how could they play with him? So this is this. We understand that Lord Brahma doing this to try to understand Krishna is evidence of his close relationship with Krishna, because Krishna was playing with him. You understand? Krishna was playing with it. Like, Mother Yashoda forgets that Krishna is God. Even when she saw something that proved that Krishna was God, what did she see? Children. What did she see that really should have convinced her that Krishna was God? I'll give you a hint. She saw all the universes in Krishna's mouth. What else did she see in Krishna's mouth? She saw herself. Instead of thinking Krishna is God, Krishna just thought, this is not good. She would get so bewildered. And then she forgot about that. And she thought, Krishna is just my little baby. But he was God. Or he is God. So this is called Yoga Maya. So even, or especially great devotees, they forget Krishna is God. It's called Prema Vivarta. Jagannanda Pandit wrote a book called Prema Vivarta. Anyone's read it?
No.
That means the illusion of Prema. Prema Vivarta. You ever read these books?
Yeah. Is it
not a book? No.
That's Prendu Vilas, that's another one. You're that Prendu brother. Anyway, I guess I read more books than you. So by love, you forget who someone is. And that's the love of the gopis, the love of the residents of Vrindavan. And Lord Brahma was put into this yoga maya so he could do this pastime. That's why. He's never in... He's a pure devotee. Because what happened after he achieved his perfection, after meditating, after undergoing austerities, he saw the spiritual world. He's a pure devotee. So pure devotees have their pastimes. Okay, so any questions? Any children? Yeah.
You mentioned that those four, Chaturbhuva.
Yeah,
Chaturbhuva,
yeah.
In Ramayana, Ram Lila.
So
they are
two.
Ramachandra is not equal to Krishna.
Ramachandra is the same as Krishna. And Ram and Lakshman Bharata Shatrughna. However, they are acting in different ways. Prabhupada gives the example that when a man goes to the office, he has one type of relationship. When he comes home, he has a different type of relationship. So which relationship is more perfect or more intimate? The home relationship or the office relationship? Right? But he's the same person. It's not, Ram and Krishna are not different gods. They're actually the same person acting in different roles.
But it's an extension.
Yeah, we say it's expansion, but that means he's exhibiting less. Krishna is the full manifestation of God. But Ram is not a different person. When we talk about expansions, it means... That's the statement in the Brahma Samhita. Advaita, there's one, Achyuta, Ananta Rupam. So Krishna has different moods in different expansions. But we can't say that it's a different person, or he's a different person. He's not a different person. And he interacts with himself. I mean, for example, you have that story in the Krishna book where the Mahavishnu, he wanted to see Krishna. And what did he do? Does anyone know the story? Mahavishnu wanted to see Krishna. And what did he do? Any of the children know? They should learn Krishna. He stole who? He stole Brahman's sons. And Arjuna said, I'm going to protect this Brahmana. My name is Arjuna. If I can't protect, I'm going to enter into the fire. And he wasn't able to protect the Brahmin's sons. And Arjuna got ready to enter the fire. Krishna said, that's not a good idea. Let's go for a ride. And they went for a ride on the chariot and went past the coverings of the material universe. Earth, water, fire, air, even 9,000 people. And then they saw Mahavishnu. And he said, I just wanted to see you. But one sense, I mean, this is the nature of God. He's so amazing. He can do many things simultaneously and interact with himself in different moods. Now, can we understand it? No, it's a chincha. It's inconceivable, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, how can we conceive what it means to be God? I mean, I can't even conceive what it means to be a pure devotee. Right? I mean, I can't conceive what it means, like Prabhupada's consciousness. I would never even attempt that. What to speak of Krishna consciousness. Whoops. A phone call, important phone call. So, anyway, Krishna, he does everything. Just like that story that Prabhupada tells about the Brahmin and the cobbler. You know that story? And he told them, once upon a time, Narada Muni was going to see Vishnu, and he went to see a Brahmin, and the Brahmin said, tell me when I'm going back to Godhead. And he went to see a cobbler. Cobbler means someone who makes shoes. And the cobbler also said, tell me when I'm going back to Godhead. No, ask Vishnu this. And so he goes to see Vishnu, comes back, and Rama asks, basically, what was Vishnu doing? And Narada said, well, he was just, because Vishnu told him to say this, he was putting an elephant through the eye of a needle. And Brahman said, get out of here. This is nonsense, basically. And then he went to the cobbler, and the cobbler asked the same question, what was Vishnu doing? And he said, putting an elephant through the eye of the needle. And the cobbler said, okay, perfect. And how wonderful my Lord is. And Narada Muni says, what are you thinking about? How can someone put an elephant through the eye of a needle? And the cobbler had some explanation. Well, Krishna can put a whole tree into the sea. Or Vishnu can put a whole tree into a sea. He can certainly put an elephant through the eye of a needle. He's God. He can do anything he wants. I don't know what it means to be God. I'm just a poor Jesus soul. So Krishna can do anything, he can do it simultaneously. It's like he's on the altar here. And how many temples is Krishna on the altar of? In Vrindavan, 5,000. Krishna doesn't have any trouble doing that. The same Krishna. He's on the altar here, 5,000 temples in Vrindavan. How many millions of temples around the world? I don't know. And Krishna says, you know, and he's also, where else? He's in his holy name, right? Every time we chant, what? Hare Krishna. Krishna's there. How can he do that? I don't know. I don't know how Krishna does things. You know, I'm not that big a scientist. I can figure that out. He's God. He can do anything. And we just love, all we can do is love him and try to understand him a little bit. Okay, I think we have to end now. Thank you very much for all listening attentively, and all glories to his language. Shri Prabhupada. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.